Welcome, everybody, to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're happy to be here. We're happy to have you with us. I am Tim Dennis, Brian Hewitt. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Tim. I'm doing all right. In keeping That's with tradition, good, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing.
Well, now I want you to. We've done that because we've been, you know, we've kind of addressed the issue, and I think I've got my stuff together now.
So. I'll ask, but I've been hurt before. Yeah, Tim, how are you doing?
You know, I'm pretty good. Thanks for asking, man. Okay, yeah, great. Thanks for asking. We were just talking a little bit before we got on here that it's kind of a warm one here in the Atlanta area. We got close to 90 degrees today, so then, which I guess that's a proper temperature for one of your beers, Brian. Because I know the your little seasonal favorite that comes around is that on deck for the show? Yeah, I knew it would be on deck for the show.
What are you talking about, Summerfest?
Little Summerfest from Sierra Nevada. That's the seasonal rotation. You're like a Walmart. You take Celebration out and put Summerfest in and try and make one last till the other comes around, right?
Yeah, and actually, I'm pretty accurate with the package stores near me. That's about how they work, too. They're just clearing out the last of their Summerfest when Celebration comes in, and they're just clearing out the last of the Celebration when Summerfest comes in. So I think I got that right. Yeah. So I'm doing the same thing they're doing.
Get rid of those lawnmowers, y'all. It's time to put out the Christmas trees.
That's right.
So, yeah. Mo, Mike, Nate, producer extraordinaire, how the heck are you this week?
I'm doing well. Should I double dip and ask how you're doing, even though Brian's already asked?
You can always ask, man. It'd make me feel good.
I might get a different answer.
Care about. Yeah. Yeah. You might.
How are you doing?
You know, it's been rough, Nate. It's been a little challenging, man, but I'm doing better now. Got a cold beer, some good conversation. So things are going,
Glad to hear it.
So yeah, absolutely. So last weekend, Brian and I did a little adventuring. As we're known to do occasionally. And, you know, we really can kind of get in a routine of getting something nice to eat, going to a brewery or going to a bar and getting some beers. And we've really been into pinball lately. So that's been a mission a lot of times. But we decided to break that out. I love my breweries. I love my beer bars. But I like other things too, Nate. I'm not a one-trick pony. I'm a really complex man. Yeah. So we drove up to Cartersville, Georgia, and really interesting thing there. If you're in the Atlanta area, you know about it. If you're not, Cartersville's not a huge town. It's a really small town, and it's about 20 miles from where I am. So we're probably talking about an hour north of Atlanta. But in this little town of Cartersville, they have three fairly large museums, and there's this. So there's a fourth, Brian?
Yeah, there's a history museum, I think, that everybody forgets about. So all right. I think there's a... Is it Civil War and history or something like that?
Interesting.
Something else.
There's the Booth Western Museum.
Western. That's what it is.
There's the Savoy Auto Museum, which is where we went. And there's the Tellus Science Museum. Yeah.
And then there's a history museum.
And there's history. And you know what? Shout out to our friend and patron supporter, Billy. Billy did a commercial for Tellus.
That's right.
Billy's an actor, and he did a commercial for Tellus. Him and his little fake family having a good time there at Tellus. But we went to the Savoy Auto Museum, and the feature there, one of the things that got me going up there is it was movie cars was the theme that they had there. So they had the family truckster from the movie Vacation, and very excited to go up there and see that. Was disappointed to find out that it's the one from the 2015 remake. So, but was still cool to see it. But they had the Buick Roadmaster from the movie Rain Man. Yeah. They had the car from American Graffiti. I think it's called a Leslie Special, the fancy pants one from that older movie, The Great Race.
And, the one that looks like a chariot or something, whatever.
Yeah, kind of looks like a not chariot. What's it, stagecoach kind of looking?
Yeah, like a stagecoach, like a personal stagecoach. Didn't have like a giant lever on one side.
Maybe for
shifting gears.
It was pimped out, man. That was a ride. That's a real ride there.
What was that Riviera in the back? A Villa Riviera? Yeah, I don't remember. I really like
that one. From. Yeah,
yeah. It was. It's not a movie I recognized. I don't think it was one that I would say, "Oh yeah, that's a movie." I just love the car.
That's
it had two car phones, and we're talking like old school handset phones.
I know the movie, but I can't remember who. And it had the TV in the most terrible placement, like in the facing backwards in the rear center console. Like there's no way anybody could have watched it, but there was a TV in.
Yeah, a little boxy. little boxy deals. Yeah.
Do you remember those, Brian, from the 80s, like little portable televisions?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw those around.
Yeah. And that it, I had. What,
I was gonna say, one of our TVs was not much bigger than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it was not uncommon back in the day. I'm just going to say that rather than throwing a decade on there. But like a 10 to 13 inch TV as like your secondary television was not unheard of, you know?
Yeah.
And for you younglings, when computers first became a thing, I mean, like a 14 inch monitor, that was pretty standard. And when it went up to like 17 inch monitors, that was big.
And I remember getting my first 17 inch monitor thinking, this is living right here.
Yeah.
It was about a foot thick, but it was beautiful. Yeah.
You could have dropped it off a building and taken out six people with it.
Easily. Yeah. It would have kept going for a few feet into the ground, probably.
And my monitor on my desk now is larger than like my family living room television set when I was a kid. You know, that was then our big TV. That's my main monitor is bigger than that now. Crazy, crazy. But went to the Auto Museum, had a good time. We went over to Drowned Valley Brewing Company. Of course, like we said, there's going to be some beer thrown in there. And they just won a bronze medal for their brown ale, Bartow Brown. And we tried that and admittedly, a fantastic brown ale. And I've always commented on brown ales that I think they're a good delivery vehicle to throw a coffee or a vanilla or something like that in. But this was good standalone. This was a nice beer. So.
Great cigar beer too. Like if you're a cigar smoker, brown ale is always an easy pair. Just anything, it'll go with everything. So
it would. Well, I mean, you could do like a light. Sorry, Brian, I was talking over you there, sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Like a light Connecticut wrap. It's not too bold for that. But even if you had something a little more, you know, peppery Lajero or something like that, it would. You could do it. You could do it. Yeah, so get you a Bartow Brown and a nice cigar. Have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Brian, I got to mention the Olive Oil Tapas Wine Bar Coffee House Beer Bar.
Yes.
So we were browsing some untapped check-ins when we were at the brewery and saw this place called Hell or High Water mentioned. It took us a while to hunt it down, but go into the front of it and it's like a home goods and olive oil bar. And then it becomes like a wine and tapas bar. And then you go further back and you hit the beer bar area and they had maybe a dozen taps, Brian. But then two or three refrigerators full of cans that you could open there. So probably 100 to 150 cans. And then behind the beer bar was a coffee house. But it little cool, quaint, friendly hangout with a fantastic beer list. I love finding those hole-in-the-wall joints like that and enjoy.
They had all kinds of great stuff there. I'm like, their selection would make anybody in town here jealous. It made me jealous.
Yeah.
I had a fin back there. They were out of them, but they had some Hot Butcher. I've not even seen Hot Butcher in the state here. And I was really excited about everything there. It's great. And you forgot there was a little performance area, too. So there's a live stage.
There was.
And in it too. Yeah.
So much going on.
Yeah.
So much going on. I got me some fancy olive oil on the way out.
Ooh.
And, you know, just got everything covered there. So it was a good time. It was a lot of fun there. A lot of fun. Well, guys, let's talk about our beers, and I'll get it kicked off, I think, appropriately for the season. Shout out to our friends at Highland Brewing. They sent us a few samples of some of their newer releases or their seasonal releases here, and I currently have an ice-cold seasonal Cerveza Lime Lager. So I'm sipping here on a Lime Lager today. I also have, it's still chilling right now, but from Barrique Brewing and Blending, I do have a barrel-aged Wild Ale. That I may get into a little bit later. We'll see if I'm feeling party-rific here today. But Brian, what are you drinking this week?
So while I was getting things set up and ready to go, I drank one of my leftover Tecates, and that was enjoyable. I am currently drinking a Sierra Nevada Summerfest, which is something I look forward to every year. You've probably heard me talking about it or seen me talking about it on social media a fair amount. So I'll be drinking that for the next 6-9 months, whatever. Technically, that's a German Pilsner. It says refreshing lager on the outside of it, but all the official documentation says it's a German Pilsner, which explains why I like it so much. I love a German Pilsner.
Right.
And also, because I saw this when I was out there buying my Summerfest, I got some of Sierra Nevada's Hoptimum, which is a triple IPA. It's a boozy little number with a lot of whole cone hops that went into it. So apparently it's a big beast of a beer. So I look forward to that if everything else has been pretty light, so I think it can handle it.
You got room for a big boy there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff.
I believe in you, Brian.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Nate, what are you sipping on?
Currently, I've got from out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I've got Dancing Gnomes Pilsner, which is, oh my God, that's not going to show. It is a German style Pilsner, which I heard that Brian really likes. Very tasty.
I've heard,
it's very crisp,
too. Yeah.
Very clear. I really enjoy it. And then on deck, I've got from Bearded Iris out of Nashville, I've got their homestyle IPA.
That's a solid one. You know, that's one that, what, 5 years ago, maybe? It was the hype, the chase and all that. I feel bad for the beers that are hyped for their moment, because that's the way it goes. Nate, we were chatting last night and you mentioned that you had a Creature Comforts Tropical.
Yep.
And great beer will always be a great beer, even if taste change in that. But a few years ago, that was one where people are posting sightings and spotting notes and all this, and stores are limiting how many you could buy, and people are accusing the brewery of not making enough and all that. Something that I got a kick out of, people, there was actually a hashtag make more trop, and people went, you know, just crazy about it. And Creature Comforts built a second brewery with a massive brew house and the room to double that. And so they started making more trop as requested. And I kid you not, it was maybe a month or two after that, I was seeing comments about them being shelfies. You know, they're just, oh yeah, that's, I'm like, there's just no pleasing, folks.
The very moment it meets demand, it's no longer is interesting.
Yeah, that's it. I imagine it could be a very highly paid position at a brewery if you could figure out the magic number on all beers, like to maintain hype, but not to get people upset with too much or not enough. Too much is never enough.
I guarantee you that some of the larger breweries that have special releases have dialed in pretty closely what they need to do to ensure that it sells properly. Because I know that I hear about like beers that come out that I really love and that they sit on the shelf for too long, and the brewery invariable the next year, if they make it again, oh yeah, we scaled that back by half.
Yeah,
something like that. Because they know it can't sit. Because if it sits, in everybody's minds, they're like, oh, that's just the crap beer that sits on shelves. Like, well, it's not. It's just that they made too much of it. It's still a great beer. Just that's easier to get now. It's not. You don't have to buy it the minute you see it. You have the luxury of waiting. Because you have the luxury of waiting, it no longer has any value to you.
I can get it, therefore I don't want it.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Speaking of that, a beer, we did try a beer that was one of those a little more readily available now, but 450 North, one of their smoothie beers. And that's just a smoothie drink. I mean, calling it a beer is a little tough call. I mean, technically a beer. But if you're drinking that, it's because you like fruit smoothie. That's why you're drinking that one.
It's a good beverage, though. I like it if you're in the mood for like a tiki drink or something like that. Or,
yeah,
I don't know, you just want to get more fruit in your diet, but also want to get a little bit of a buzz on. You know what? It works for you, I guess. So
it'd be nice.
Weren't they the ones that got called out for misrepresenting their percentages?
Yeah. Yeah, they were saying it. And I don't even remember. It wasn't a crazy percentage, but like 4 or 5%. So somebody took one and had it tested and they're. Were a lot less than that. I won't throw any numbers out because I'm not sure, but it was like, yeah, this is just fruit juice. This is just fruit pulp, basically.
Oh, that's a fair point. Well, I guess if you leave them on a warm shelf, it may develop more stuff because they will continue.
Or blow up.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Well, it's the right time. You got to get it right before it explodes to get the maximum booziness out of it.
You know, Brian, do you think those beers would be better if they were a little more laid back?
You know what? Yes, in the case of 450 North. So I think you're talking about my my week-long campaign of drinking things laid back, aren't you, Tim?
I am. I've tried to set you up there where you can just smooth sail into it. Yeah.
I'm just making sure that we're both on the same page.
We're on the same page.
Laid back here. I don't want to make any
assumptions. I understand. Nate, are you in sync with us here? We all on the same page?
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy laying back and having a beer.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So, oh, yeah. So as a result of one of the stories we had a few weeks ago, I started off a little campaign of was basically Goose Island inspired trolling, where I was adding an orange wheel to every beer I drank, you know, as a result of, you know, the Sophie, the laid back with an orange slice or whatever it was. They rebranded the whole thing. They took it away from being a Saison. And a lot of people were talking about it. It's just sad. It was actually kind of pathetic to see. It was like, oh, that's such a sellout move. What I discovered is I kind of actually liked like putting an orange wheel on some of those beers, including stouts and saisons. I did not expect that. In fact, I really liked it on the stout a lot. Most of the comments I got, I was trolling and I was hoping for a little bit of hate on this. And most of the comments were positive. I think some of the people that saw me do it will even try it. I got a couple of people saying, I never thought of that before. And I'm like, oh, you didn't see Blue Moon before now? But no, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was pretty good. So I'm like, they should try it, I think, if they have an orange around. I think I only got one person that took the bait. Somebody did tell me that I needed to take off with that nonsense. And I'm pretty sure that several other people knew what was up when I checked into Saison DuPont with an orange slice. Allagash? Allagash liked the post, didn't say anything. I'm like, oh yeah, they saw what I did there. They got it. So I'm pretty sure that they knew what was going on. But yeah, I don't think that Goose Island ever heard anything about it. I think what they did to Sophie is just sad, but I don't hate an orange wheel on the right beer. I think it's actually a pretty good thing. And I think that it's probably worth trying with some of those stouts. I mean, you can't go wrong there. Did I convince either of the two of you to start putting orange slices on beers?
Well, so first, about talking about trolling, is it excellent trolling if people are unsure if it's trolling, or is it terrible trolling? Like, should it be obvious that you're a troll?
I think the more confusion and anger you can cause, I think confusion and anger are both good things.
That's what it's about.
So
okay.
In a way, mm-hmm. It could have been successful, but I don't think people were confused. Sorry. I think that most people thought, hey, that's an interesting idea. And just the one person was angry. So they may have been surprised to see me do it, and rightfully so, because who would do that? But
who would do that? Yeah. You know, gosh, man, people love to, I'll put it this way. It sounds wrong to me. Putting a slice of orange on my teku of stout sounds wrong. Like, it shouldn't be done. But a nice roasty chocolatey stout with a hint of orange sounds pretty tasty.
I'm
torn here, Brian. And you know what? Saison DuPont, beautiful beer all on its own, doesn't need anything else. But Saison with a little essence of orange also sounds super nice, you know? So that's where I am, Brian. And I don't, we've obviously done things that the I don't know the right word, the beer geeks, I don't know if connoisseur is the right word there, because I don't think a connoisseur would really poo-poo something just because of the perception of it, or maybe they would. Beer snobs. You know, just lose their minds over that. They were also drink a 450 North smoothie beer and then get upset because you put a slice of orange on your stout. So
entirely possible. Yeah. I gotta say, that's so much orange aroma, like that shock. I may do that again. I may not take a picture of it though, but, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you've got, those chocolate oranges are a treat.
Yes, I like those too.
Maybe put a piece of one of those in your beer next time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody's done. I'm sure they have. I bet somebody has brewed with those before. Those chocolate oranges.
I'm
a lot of fat content, but they'll get it out of there.
I'm gonna stick one of those in the top of a Corona, like it's a little slice going into a Corona.
Yeah,
Corona. People are like, what are you doing?
It's like, don't question my vibe. Don't kink shame me.
Don't kink shame me. That's exactly right. Yes.
Nate, you going to orange everything up now?
I'm going to try it. I definitely want to see how it is with my stouts. If Brian's really enjoying it, I've got a teku. I can fill a stout and add an orange pinwheel.
Technically, it doesn't have to be a teku, but it's classier if it is.
It's classier. It looks better in the photo.
Class it up. Class it up. And, you know, Brian, it was Cinco de Mayo last weekend. And in keeping with that, this is something that I think people who would have an issue with an orange on a glass wouldn't care, would be all on board with this. But you tried something we talked about, something that, depending on where you find the quote-unquote recipe, is called a dirty ashtray or a Mexican ashtray. And what is that? Tell us about the one you made and what you thought of it.
I will tell you about it. It's basically, if you've heard us talk about a dressed hams, it's a little bit like that. It's basically a dressed can of Tecate. And like you said, depending on who you talk to, where you find it, it's got a bunch of different names. But it's also kind of a cocktail at the same time. It's really messy because the can is slathered with stuff, but it's a lot of fun in a group setting because people like watching it made. They like trying it out. It's fun to watch them try it out. And it's fun after they try it, they have to force everybody else they see to try it as well, because everybody's got to be part of that. And it starts off hot because there's a lot of hot sauce involved, but it does kind of finish out like just a beer with just a little bit of spice. So it comes on strong, but it's enjoyable throughout, I think. So how you make it, and this will give you a better idea of exactly what it is. You take your can of Tecate, you rim it with tajin, the spice powder. You open up the can, you coat the top with Cholula hot sauce. Just make an absolute mess. You want a pool of it on there. You pour a little of the beer out, or if it's your can you're making, you drink a little of it off. You have to make room for a shot of mezcal, about an ounce, maybe a little bit more, depending on how crazy you want to get. You dip a lime wedge in black pepper, and then you squeeze that all over the can, and then you just drop that on top of the can and give it to the person. You know, you serve it that way, or if it's yours, you take it and you can suck on the peppery lime if you want, or squeeze more of it into the thing, and then you just drink. And it's messy, and if you have a beard, it will get all in your beard. It will get all over the place, but it's spicy and it's fun. It's kind of wild. It's a lot of fun. That's all I can say. I recommend trying it, especially right now. I think it's the perfect season for it. It's good warm weather beer. So yeah,
I was unaware of the addition of mezcal. I thought it was just kind of dressing the can up. I did not know that there was mezcal added to this.
So the recipe I found, and I wasn't too picky, but it was one of the top search results, did include an ounce of mezcal.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, it takes it up a notch. I mean, it'll help you get loose.
Yeah, that it would. Yeah, I'll have to try one of those. You know, I like my Mexican inspired drinks. We did have some very large micheladas last weekend.
Right.
Yep. And what was that called? Mezcalito, I think, may have been what it was called, but it was somewhat like a margarita with mezcal. Basically,
yeah.
Mezcal, agave, lime, I think was essentially what that was.
Yeah, I think...
And a lot of ice, Brian. I was a little disappointed in the ice to alcohol ratio in this thing. So.
And all of those cocktails are like $20 a pop, and you're paying like $10. Yeah. $10 worth of it is ice.
Madness. Madness.
Those are fun. I like the application of mezcal anywhere you can put tequila. And I kind of like that this dirty ashtray, Mexican ashtray, whatever you want to call it, is kind of a boilermaker, because you are throwing a shot in the beer on top of it. So it's cocktail, boilermaker, dressed, Tecate. It's all of these things. It's a mess. It's more of an event than a drink. So it's something I definitely recommend you try out at least once, even if you hate it.
Calling it a boilermaker and a cocktail and all that is kind of like the arguments of like, is so-and-so a sandwich? Is a hot dog a sandwich? You know, like, well, you're kind of stretching it here. And I have seen all kinds of justifications on that note as to why it is a sandwich, why it isn't a sandwich. It's the bread touches, therefore it's one slice of bread, so it's not a sandwich, because a sandwich has to have two separate. So
you've thought more about that than I have, for sure.
Yeah, but then that would make like a quesadilla with a top and bottom would actually be a sandwich if you got two tortillas there. There's a lot of rules to sandwiches, apparently.
There are fewer rules to dirty ashtrays.
To dirty ashtrays.
Mexican ashtrays.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Brian, looking forward to next week, a big holiday week for craft beer. It is American Craft Beer Week. So what's going on with that, and what do we celebrate?
Yeah, so it starts on Monday, May 13th. It runs through Sunday, May 19th, and it's just going to be a week around the country of special beers, special events, celebrating craft beer. And generally speaking, they time it around this time of year because the weather is finally getting nice for everybody across the country. I've been talking to people I work with in more northern states, and they've been even talking about snow recently. But I think it's finally, we're hitting a point where people can go out and go drink some local craft beer. And there's plenty of it out there to be had. There are 9,761 independent craft breweries as of the last count in 2023. Most Americans live within 10 miles of a craft brewery. So yeah, get out there. The weather's nice, I think, in most places, unless you're in Tennessee right now. I understand there's a tornado, but every place else. I think it's great. You should go out there and enjoy some local craft beers. Support your local brewery. That's what that's all about. Have some fun. Kick off the drinking season. They're saying drinking season is open with this event. I think drinking season is always open, but we'll go with drinking season is opening this week.
Just in time, Brian.
Just in time.
Just in time. You know, I got to mention this real quick. Rick Toby chimed in and he noted that cheesesteaks are sandwiches and the bread stays together on those. So that's, you know, there's all these exceptions to the rules. There's just no telling what may be a sandwich. Keep your eyes out, guys, because you may not know it. And boom, sandwich.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you either of you have any plans yet for American Craft Beer Week? Anything special you're going to do?
Nothing comes to mind just yet, but I need to look at the events that are going on because, I mean, every brewery is likely to have something special going on. I will keep an eye out for special releases, and especially later on in the week, it will be the time for that. So how about you?
I feel like this is a great time to remind you that you're doing a beer fest on the 18th of May, Brian.
That's a great point.
I feel like that's a solid time to remind you that you will be at the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild Georgia Beer Fest.
Oh, that is. I was thinking that 18th. Was another week later.
No, okay, that's there. Georgia right. Craft Brewers Guild, Georgia Beer Fest. Y'all, come see us if you're in Georgia. If you want to take a road trip, come on over. Celebrating Georgia beer. We're going to be there. We'll have a booth set up. We'll have some swag to give out. If you came out there last year and saw us, we have a new tent that is super cool. So come. You can look at our just to look at our tent, really, would be enough of a reason to come to the festival, and there'll also be beer there. So come check it out. Smalls will be there.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
actually getting a chance to make it out. Nate will not be because he's a loser. So he won't be there, but
no,
Nate's going camping, getting lost in the woods. He'll be laid back that weekend.
I'll bring my orange slices.
You got to, man. You got to. Georgia Craft Beer Fest. Come on out and see us. Be a good time. So yes, Brian, you do have plans.
You know what?
Nate's going camping for American Craft Beer Week. I'm sure he'll have some sliced oranges and good beers in there. We'll be doing a beer fest that weekend.
And the great thing is I was going to correct you because I thought it was a week later, but that I'm glad you said something. So that's yeah. coming up. Cool.
FYI.
All right.
FYI. And Brian, I'm imagining that this is not coincidental, but Athletic Brewing is giving away some free beer in a beer on May 16th. So right there, right smack in the middle of American Craft Beer Week.
That is correct. I believe that is a Thursday, May 16th. They're calling it Ask for Athletic Day. So to get a free athletic beer, all you need to do is just order one at a restaurant or a bar that serves it, anywhere the offer is valid. And afterwards, you upload your receipt to itsathletic.com, and you will be reimbursed for your beer via Venmo or PayPal up to $7. Unfortunately, this isn't available in every state. I think some states do not allow one adult to buy another adult a non-alcoholic beverage. I don't know why you wouldn't allow that, but that is how it is. Unfortunately, that includes Georgia, but there are, I believe, 39 or 40 other states that do allow it. I would encourage you to go out there and go get a free athletic beer. Check it out. You know, what harm could it do?
Check them out. Check them out. See what you think. It's fun. It's fun. No judgment.
Exactly. You know what? And here's the thing. If you've been wondering about them and you didn't want to commit to buying a six pack, just go get one and get paid for it. And you get to try it out. You get to see what you think about it. And you may find a beer that you really enjoy drinking that you can drink at lunch with, you know, during the day or whatever, you know.
At church.
At church. Yeah.
During surgery, whether you're the one doing the surgery or getting the surgery should be fine.
It's important to stay hydrated.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very helpful. And you got some malt and carbon there too. So it's good nutrition, low alcohol. It's basically medicine.
Yeah. Brian. It's like red medicine. It's great.
Good red medicine, liquid medicine. Well, Brian, I think this is a great time we're talking about craft beer, American beer, Georgia beer, and all that to give a shout out to our sponsors. I want to thank the Terrapin Brewery Atlanta for sponsoring Beer Guys Radio, Joe's Park, Braves Baseball, Craft Beer, Barbecue, all kinds of good stuff on. As summer rolls on, they're going to have some crispy, refreshing beers for you there. But if you're feeling all season, get a stout. Stout's that's the first part we always like to say, and you can enjoy them anytime. But guaranteed to have some there to please you. And when you have these hot days like we did today, you know, they can cool you down. Go in the air conditioning if you're, you know, masochistic, and then set out in the sun, get a beer, get a sunburn in the beer, and people watch and have a good time. But definitely go check out Terrapin Brewery Atlanta and tell them the Beer Guys sent. Thanks a lot to Terrapin for sponsoring the show.
And I hope that you had a chance to swing by Truck and Tap last weekend for their giant Cinco de Mayhem party. But if you missed out, don't worry. There's always something going on at Truck and Tap. I'm talking like trivia nights, cornhole leagues, music bingo, and even karaoke. That said, I hear you still, if you go over to Truck and Tap really soon, you might have a chance to try their special collaboration with Reformation called Cinco de Mayhem in accordance with the event. It's a crisp Vienna lager brewed with Motueka hops to give it a little extra limey character. So look for that. But if they do run out, by the time you get there, don't worry. They have 19 other taps to choose from. And they do have some really good choices this week. I was pretty impressed with some of these. Starting with Truck and Tap in Woodstock, you just have to get their Destreuze Panipot. It's a legendary Belgian strong dark with complex chocolate notes and subtle spices. If you don't believe me that it's a great beer, just check out all the people waxing poetic about it on Tapped. And I don't know if I said it right. I think that's the right way to say it, but definitely get that beer. I would get that beer. Mixing things up, I'm heading over to the Duluth location and getting a Moody Tongue Cold Kiwi IPA. Yeah, that's cold as in it's basically an IPL, but I like IPLs. And this one has a blend of German and New Zealand hops and sounds cool. And I like what Moody Tongue is laying down generally. So that seems like a winner. At Alpharetta, I'm tempted to just recommend that you go to that rooftop overproof rum bar. But if you're not in the mood for tiki drinks, how about Monday Night's Imaginary Grace? It's a blend of three vintages of spontaneously fermented sour blonde ales, which makes it basically an American take on a goose. And they do good work, Monday Night does, and I do love good goose. And last but not least, over at Truck and Tap Lawrenceville, my pick is Scepter Brewing Arts Mikrobuza. I think I said that right. Because as we've established already, I am a fan of a classic German Pilsner. And, you know, that about does it. Make sure you check out Truck and Tap, Truck and Tap's website before you head out, truckandtap.com. And once again, thank you so much to Truck and Tap for your support.
Always good to hang out with those guys and have some good beers. They've been with since day one. We appreciate it. Brian, big news. Big news out of Scotland, I think. I think Scotland, right?
Yeah, Scotland.
That, so James Watt, the CEO of BrewDog, has announced he's taking a step back. He's stepping out from the CEO role.
Yeah, after 17 years of being at the helm, the current COO, James Arrow, is taking over from James Watt. Watt will hold some sort of non-executive role with the name captain and co-founder, whatever that means. And he will also continue to be a major shareholder. Reportedly, Watt set this all in motion last year and is looking forward to time off and spending more time on other business interests. I don't know what to think about this. I'm a little skeptical because it's BrewDog. This could just be more BrewDog scandal theater, but maybe it really is time to let somebody more responsible take the helm. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
You know, it's something with BrewDog, kind of like we talked about with the Forest thing, that sounded like good news with an unfortunate ending, or maybe an unfortunate middle, but you throw BrewDog in the mix, and I hate to say it, but I automatically kind of look at it, you know, with a little bit of side turned head there. So hearing this, James Watt has been just absolutely steeped in controversy from their gold can thing that wasn't really a gold can, from them interviewing, quote unquote, several people and basically having them doing marketing packages and then not giving them jobs and using their marketing. There's just been issue after issue after issue, enough to where you can't really say, okay, well, there's a one-off. Someone just had a bad experience here. There's enough there that it looks like it's more a culture issue. However, you grow a company the size of BrewDog, and it does afford you the luxury that if you want to take a step back, you're going to be financially fine. You can go do other things once you get the company to a certain point. If you've got a company bring you in seven figures or more a year, and you've got someone that can reasonably run the company, then why not take a step back, go skiing, launch another business, play pickleball, whatever it is, you know? Or you know what? James Watt's case, maybe he wants to go down to an orphanage and kick children. You know, just whatever his interest
could do that.
Maybe he can now have the time to do that. So, you know, hopefully it's good for the company. I don't know anything about the James Arrow guy. Have not heard much at all about him, but I'm curious to see what develops with it from here.
Based on the little bit I read, it looked like he had some higher level position in the Boots chemist company, the chain of Boots pharmacies, or, you know, like Walgreens over in the UK. So he looks like he has some, you know, verified, bona fide business credentials as a guy that can actually run a company at a higher level. So I have no doubt if this person is let run the company, it will be run much differently than it is. Whether or not that really happens, I don't know if the captain and co-founder will still exert a great deal of control over how things work. I don't know with these things.
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Yep.
Well, Brian, some science thrown around out there. I need a science sound effect, you know, to throw in when we're talking about it. Thank you, Nate. Thank you. So something to throw in for these articles. But beer serving temperatures, Brian. So science has weighed in on the subject. What do they have to say?
Yeah, they say, science says that cold beer just tastes better, and they can prove it. According to a published study in the science journal Matter, and beer does taste better when it's served cold, and they have the backup for it. The temperature of the beer changes how water and ethanol interact. For beverages between 5 and 11% alcohol, there is a substantial increase in chain-like ethanol structures when the beverage warms up to 41 degrees or warmer. These structures result in a higher perception of ethanol, so more of an alcoholic burn. At temperatures below or lower than 41 degrees Fahrenheit, there are more tetrahedral or pyramid-shaped clusters of ethanol that surround water molecules, apparently. That reduces the perception of alcohol and makes the drink seem smoother, for lack of a better word. Of course, this all assumes that you don't like the taste of alcohol. There are definitely cases where booziness in beer is to be desired, and in those cases, you often will find that beer drinks better at a cellar temperature to allow some of that booziness to shine through. So if you're looking to cut the taste of booze, cut the temperature. That's kind of what we're hearing here. So I think the people in the UK would probably disagree with the whole premise that it tastes better, but we've got scientists on our side, so what do they have?
What do they have? That's a great. What's the serving temperature for? Because I know they always say room temperature, cellar temperature, and I know over here we say like 55-ish degrees.
Yeah,
is what we call cellar temp. Is that for a real cask ale, a real ale? Do you know, Nate? Can you hit the Google machine for us and see what they say the approximate serving temperature of English real ale is? Because I'm curious, because that's another thing they say room temperature. We serve it at room temperature. And Americans think we're talking about like 67 degrees or something like that, but it's most definitely not 67 degrees.
My initial 50, Google,
50 to 55.
Yeah.
Okay. I got so around 50 to 55. Yeah.
Isn't it pumped up from a basement? So it's whatever like below ground is. So it's like the ambient temperature, which I assume is probably about 50, 55.
Yeah. Hey, Nate, Google temperature of an English pub cellar. I'm going to use Nate as my Alexa here. We'll find out exactly what we've got going on with all this.
Let's rename Nate. We call him Nate Lexa.
Nate Lexa. Yeah, that would work. Alexa. So I was going to argue with you on this about all, because I thought the stance of the article was all beer tastes better cold. So when you got into the, well, because for one thing, I like the taste of alcohol in certain things. And one that I think of is like Booker's whiskey. And yes. I really like it's a very high, high proof whiskey. And I really enjoy that. I like the burn that it brings. I like the flavor on that. And when you chill it down or serve it on an ice cube, I think it mutes it too much, in my opinion.
Barrel proof stuff is often better when it's allowed to like really deliver all of the aromatics and all that heat. And this is for what I was talking about for beer was 5 to 11%. And so there's an entire chart of. And I didn't understand fully what was going on. And honestly, the articles written about it weren't super clear on it. But there are different levels for all different ranges of alcohol as to where the more optimal drinking temperatures are. Because I think it's soju or sake, like it's served warm typically because for some reason that is a more better, a better delivery.
More better delivery.
More better to deliver it this way.
Nate, do you have seller info for us?
All right. So I'm looking at this article and it said that, especially if you are storing cask ales, that the ideal cellar temperature is 12 degrees Celsius or converted to Fahrenheit, 53.6
okay. Fahrenheit. Which all is right. So yeah, that 50 to 55. Sure. Okay. Yep. Then that's what we're seeing there. All right. Boy, we tell them to take their milds and ESBs and stuff and drop them down to, 40 degrees, 41. They're going to have a fit there.
They'd have a lot of people freeze to death in the pub. Like there would just be an epidemic of people freezing to death.
They just wouldn't have it. We need to have someone on here. Owen Ogletree, our buddy Owen Ogletree. He could tell us with detail why we're wrong here.
About
that. He could definitely let us know. Now,
I was going to say, they definitely made assumptions about what kind of beer you were drinking. That was definitely for people who like ice cold lagers. That's really what they were thinking about.
Well, that's my Highland Lime Lager that I hear, my Highland, seasonal cerveza. I kept it literally on ice until I drank it because I knew that was a beer that I would want, super cold, that's the way I would enjoy it the most.
Yep.
And, it's sometimes when we're here for an hour, there are definitely beers that I pour when we get started. And if I'm nursing them too much, they've crossed that line by the time we're done. They've gotten a little too warm for me, but that one I kept nice and icy until we got right on the air here. As appropriate.
You should.
Talking about English ales and lower ABVs and that, not just milds and ESBs doing that, but apparently low ABV stout is growing in the international market, right?
That's right. And this is a crazy story that I'm kind of blown away by. It's apparently lower alcohol stouts like Guinness are booming internationally in recent years, especially in the UK. According to market analyst IWSR, stouts grew 11% globally between 2021 and 2022. They grew by 23% in the UK in the same period. A big percentage of that growth has been attributed to young women who are looking for lower alcohol beers with new flavors, and they're avoiding the bitterness of hops in a lot of cases. According to one British supermarket, stout sales were up 29%, and they say 61.3% of the volume was purchased by women. There is speculation that non-alcoholic Guinness Zero may have played a part in opening up the stout to a new market. I'm thinking it's because the myth that dark beers are strong doesn't exactly hold up when you can see on the can that the beer is non-alcoholic. It's not strong, so you're not afraid to try it. I haven't heard of a similar trend here in the U.S., but I wonder if we'll see a similar development at some point, or if this is something that's purely a European, U.K. phenomenon. So it's really interesting. I think there's a lot of opportunity out there for people to really get into the dry Irish stout, the Schwarz beer, all kinds of stuff like that. A lot of great flavor there, not a lot of alcohol. And I'm all about it. I hope that women embrace it and just run with it. That'd be fantastic.
I don't know if any stats would support it, but I know I am hearing more people in the U.S. talking about they're just looking for drinkable stouts. Like, is it Barney Flats? Is that the one from Anderson Valley that...
I believe so, yeah.
Was that a porter? That was just an oatmeal stout,
That was
right?
an oatmeal stout. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
So, but that one was a little boozier. Like it kind of hid the alcohol.
5.7%.
Okay. So that's one, I love that. And again, I do really dig the higher ABV stouts, but drinkable beers are a nice thing. Having something that you can have a couple of and not get, too stupid on there. Definitely.
Czech dark lagers have been really popular lately too, at least in this area. I've seen a kind of a trend or a growth in popularity of that style locally anyway, for over a year. Like a lot of places just have one on the menu now. I'm like, okay. That seems to be a thing. Not angry at it. I think they're great beers. I'm happy that people are finding something new and interesting to drink. It doesn't all need to be super hazy, super juicy, super fruity, or super slurry,
So I'm going to ask a question here and see if we can get some expansion on this. And this, I think I'm going to say this right, but this is coming from Instagram. And I think the name is Say Hello to My Little Garden is the screen name.
Yeah.
But they said a little pinch of salt goes a long way as a beer gets to room temperature. So I'd like to know more about that. That would be interesting to see. An esoteric brewer, he just said beer taste is in the eye of the beer holder. So that's definitely it. Brian's got pickle beer salt there. So save that for when your beer gets warm. Give it a hit.
There you go. You know what? I should do that actually. Yeah, I've had this little shaker of, I forgot it was pickle salt, but I knew it was beer salt. And I've seen this around and I've been meaning to try it. I just completely forgot. It's been sitting on my cluttered desk for ages. So I'm going to have to pour some in my beer a little bit later.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Check it out and see what is going on. But interesting. My dad used to do that. I remember when I was a kid that I talk about some of my dad's drinking stuff like the tomato beers or the red beers and all of this. Maybe my dad just liked alcohol. They, find different ways to do it. But he would do this with a Coke as well as a beer, would put salt in it. And I think he did it in the beer as well. But I know in a Coke, he'd put peanuts in there, like float a few peanuts in the bottle.
Yeah,
absolutely. And go that way. So, Dad, what in the world, man? What in the world are you up to? Crazy.
I became aware of that recently. I saw a video of that on some social media where somebody was throwing peanuts in their Coke. And I'm like, what on earth is that? But I guess if it's a mix of the salt plus the peanuts, I don't know. I mean,
put it in there. You know what it needs, though, in addition to salt and peanuts?
Yes.
Slice of orange.
Does, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Then they'd be set. They would be set.
Basically turning it into almost a margarita. Nearly.
Oh, close. Maybe some pepper, lime wedge, Cholula.
That's right.
Take all of the stuff and just put it together there.
Just dump a bunch of Cholula at the top of the warm beer.
Just
make that warm beer hot with Cholula.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, interesting, Brian, we were just talking about low ABV stouts and all this, but if it's not alcohol, people are still looking for a buzz from their beer. And we found out that may be something that people love about coffee and their beer.
Absolutely correct. When it comes to beer and to coffee, we have science that tells us that people are into that. They like it for the buzz. So according to a study published in Human Molecular Genetics, another journal that I read all the time, so your beverage preferences are more strongly linked to the way the beverages make you feel than what they taste like, which might be surprising for you. And it was actually surprising for the researchers. They thought that taste genes determined people's preferences for beverages. Not the case. It's how it makes you feel. More specifically, the psychoactive compounds in beer and coffee, they work with the genes involved with our emotional response, and that makes us like these beverages. They make us feel good, and so we like them. It all adds up. And so reading this article,
That checks out, Brian.
Yeah. People like coffee despite the fact it's being bitter, and you have to get used to it before you like it. I like it, and I would drink decaf and enjoy it, too, any time of the day. It also reminds me of the people. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Kava Kava, there's an entire subculture that's into Kava Kava. The stuff tastes wretched. It will give you a pleasant buzz if you try it out, and I have, but it tastes terrible. But people are dedicated to it because it makes them feel good. It tastes terrible. I don't think anybody likes the flavor of it. But
aren't there legitimately like Kava bars? That's what they're dedicated to, is that? Well, that's another one. What's the stuff that's like shredded shrubbery that's popular that... it's got the metal straw that goes and you drink from the bottom.
Yerba mate.
Yeah, that's awful. It's just, it's stinky nasty shrubbery. But I know now that's one man's take on it, y'all. That's one man's take on it, because I had a coworker that said how much she loved the stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm always interested in trying new things. So I made some of it. I'm like, this is just horrendous. This is just absolutely awful.
Leaves and twigs, right?
I don't think I've ever had it then. I've heard of it. I thought when you said, shredded shrubbery, I'm like, that's coleslaw, Tim. That stuff is delicious. And you shut your mouth.
Put some on your fish sandwich and rock on.
That's right. Yeah.
No, that's yerba mate is one. Now, one I do like that is another one I think some people, matcha, like the powdery green tea.
Because that whisk.
You can get a little grit. If you don't whisk that up real good, but I do enjoy that. But now the yerba mate, if that's the way you pronounce it, not my thing. They even have it canned now, Brian, so you don't have to buy like a bag and brew it. Or you know what? Go out in front of your house and just clip something off of the holly bushes or shrubbery there and just like pour that in a cup of bleach and hot water. It's going to be exactly the same. It's going to be exactly the same as yerba mate.
That sounds delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget to put your straw through because you don't strain it. You leave the shrubbery in there for some reason. Like they didn't think, hey, maybe we should filter this. Let's just get a straw that goes through it and just leave the shrapnel in there. That's the proper way.
I have an invention for these people, and I picked it up because it's a coffee gadget for when you're drinking a French press where there's a lot of sediment in the coffee. I believe it's a straw that has a filter at the bottom. It's an all metal straw with a rubberized tip. I've got it around here somewhere. I've forgotten to use it, but the idea is it would keep the sediment out. You could drink the coffee without getting a bunch of sediment in the back of your throat and in your teeth and all that sort of thing. And I was intrigued by it, so I picked it up. And it sounds like the people that like to eat the grass clippings and hedge trimmings and all that might enjoy that as well for keeping all that out. I guess you could use it for loose tea as well.
And I believe the thing with yerba mate, I think it can be used more than once. I think you can get a brew out of it, so they'll drink it down and then just top it off and let it steep again. So I don't know how many times you can go through it. We'll have to go through. If somebody knows all about yerba mate, feel free to share with us. Or we can hit Nate Lexa a little later on and find out all the details.
Can I, if I crunch up a bunch of bay leaves in water, can I reuse those too? Is that,
yeah, okay. Just whatever spices you have around, or you know, maybe the next time Uma vacuums, take the vacuum bag and pour that into a mug and do that, and it's essentially the same thing. Pretty much
sounds probiotic to me.
It is very pro. Excellent. Pro, pre, very post, pro. Anti,
post. Yep. It's postbiotic too. It's good for you even after it's completely passed through your system.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Absolutely
fantastic.
Well, Brian, one to wrap things up with today. Interesting. This has been a roller coaster, man. What's the saying? Oh, how the mighty have fallen, or something along those lines. But we've got some ballast point news, and I think this news actually came out last week, but we're just getting to sharing it now. But man, what the heck's going on with ballast point?
Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, you're right. It was on our roster for last week. We didn't quite get to it. But they ceased operations of their San Diego production headquarters, which included a 107,000 square foot brewery, and they've laid off a bunch of their production staff. It turns out that 1 million barrel brewery that they had was just too big for them, and they even tried to fill the capacity by partnering up with people to do some contract brewing, and they just couldn't cut it. So they will continue to operate the bar and restaurant. I believe it's actually connected to that, as well as a brew pub nearby, until they can find or build a brewery that's the right size for Ballast Point. Their beer will be contract brewed, and apparently the brewing company that will be taking over the facility is the one that will be doing the contract brewing. So their beer will be made in the same place by different people, which is, I'm not sure how that all works, but...
I am not able to wrap my brain around how we went from $1 billion sell to this. And you know what? There was a graphic that went around at Craft Brewers Conference, and I forget who it was that shared it, but controversial, got people talking, and it was like a pie chart, and it's like the reasons breweries fail, and like, I don't remember the percentage, 1, 2, or 3% was like the market's crap. The other 97% said management.
Yeah.
And so the point was that all these breweries fail, and it's, if you manage it right, you can make it through a tough market and all of that. I'm not going to delve into that. You know, we've got a lot of friends that have been hit by things here. We've got a lot of friends that have been hit by that 3%. I'll just say that. True. But Ballast Point, man, I don't see any reason that there's anything outside of just managing that into the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, they were such a, do you remember when Sculpin came to Georgia?
Yeah. And
people chasing it. There was some complaints about the price because I think it was, what was it, $900 a six pack or
it
something?
It was like
that?
$17 a six pack before anything was $17.
But they bought it. But people still bought it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And people were so excited to see it come here. And that's another one, you know, talking about beers that are hype and then they're shelfies and then you don't see them at all. Sculpin was one that, you know, ran the gamut on that one.
You know, we talk about those, like these family diversity packs that breweries are coming out with now. And Sculpin was one of the first ones that you had, like the base, and you had pineapple habanero Sculpin and
grapefruit. They did a grapefruit one.
So they were the first. Now it wasn't all within a 12 pack, but they were the first ones to take a family brand and expand on it.
They did. I wonder, with that. You know what? I bet there's somewhere missing with saying they're the first. I'm sure this family thing, sure. You know, has been around, but that's, you know, Terrapin had their, Moohoo. They've done different variants on
yeah,
that.
They,
from
they
Wake and Bakes and Moohoos. They had all kinds of takes on that. What was the one? It was, we were in the studio in Buckhead at the time when this happened. So that would have been 2016, 2017. But Terrapin did a stout, I think it was a 4-pack maybe, where it was the same beer with 4 different coffees. And that's just showing right. The difference in the coffees that were in there. That was fun. That was fun. Was that a family? Would you call that a family of 4 there? Not quite the same.
Yeah, it's cool. It's an experimental thing, and I love it when breweries do that. I don't know how well they play these days. Probably not well, but I don't think it's a family thing. I think once you do the family thing, that's an established long-term deal. This was definitely a one-off shot. We're doing, you know, we make the Wake and Bake, but we're also for a limited time doing these one-offs. And did they even have separate names for them, or did they just purely?
Are you trying to tell me, Brian, that you have the authority to decide what is and isn't a family?
Correct, Tim.
Okay.
Correct.
I just making sure.
It has been that sure. That responsibility has been given down to me.
It is.
I did apply to it, and I did go through a rigorous course of examination to ensure that I am capable of handling it. But yes, it turns out I am, and I do have this authority, Tim. So
use your power wisely. Okay, yes. Fair. It has been spoken. Brian has spoken the authority on the matter.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Lots of fun doing that. Well, y'all, I think that about wraps us up for this week. We appreciate you coming and hanging out with us. If you enjoy the show, you know what? Something simple you can do for us that we would greatly appreciate. Share it with your friends. Tell a friend to listen. Repost it on your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebooks, wherever you know what? Make us a nice flyer. Post it on the board at work. We'd really appreciate that. Send us a picture of you actually doing that. We'll send you a t-shirt. We will do that. So if you like us a little bit more, we'd love for you to go to patreon.com/beerguys and consider supporting the show. We're going to give you the show earlier than anyone else gets it. We are going to send you some very cool swag. We're going to get you on our Discord where you can hang out and chat about beer and tin fish and pinball and all kinds of crazy things with us. And we would love to have you come chat with us. So again, patreon.com/beerguys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us. I can talk. I have done this before. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.